It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour, plus access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code PODCAST20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's PODCAST20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
The bride.
Oh, I want to go back to bed.
God. That was a horrible idea, John. You just flash banged us with the lights in here. You know what happens? You give somebody like a new way to control things.
Yeah.
They take it way too far.
John's gone mad with power. Look at this.
God. This is awful. Oh, where'd our Shutterstock logo go? How do we end up with a sauce-a-thon? Oh, did we take this light to
the sauce-a-thon? The Shutterstock is up here on the fireplace.
Welcome to this very special episode of Safety Third Podcast. We got a whole list of things to talk about. There's, I think, first things first, though. Nigel, you look so clean and healthy. What happened?
Do I? I feel dirty and unhealthy.
No, well, if that's on the inside, whatever you're doing on the outside is working.
Really?
Yeah. You have this
glow.
It's
like a glow, yeah. Yeah.
Are you pregnant?
I haven't tested, so...
Yeah, it's I think I might know why actually.
Any morning sickness?
It is morning. This is the earliest we've ever recorded a Safety Third Podcast.
Yeah.
So Nigel has like a natural sunshine glow on him.
I mean, there is, so actually now that you mention it, it's because there's a window next to me. There's sunlight.
It looks great. It looks very nice.
It actually does.
Mm-hmm. It's very clean.
The lighting's good. It's literally just a window.
Yeah.
I think we're not used to sunlight.
No. I hate the sunlight. This is my favorite time of year.
Nigel, why did you wake us up at the crack of dawn to record this podcast?
So I was originally, I said 11 your time. And yeah. Will said have a 10.
Yeah. Well, you got to go either early or late. I did. Yeah. You moved, right? That's where you are. So you're not at the office right now. You're at your new apartment?
Yeah. So that's why the room is also echoey, and I mean, you can't see the floor, but it's a mess.
Really? What kind of a mess? Like a food mess or like box mess?
No, it's just like wires and crap. Also, I panicked when I was setting up this podcast because I got back and it was like 15 minutes before and I realized I didn't have OBS installed. I also had no microphone. The webcam was not installed, and I wasn't even sure it was working.
Is this your new computer?
OBS.
Is this a new computer
that you've been?
It's just a home computer that I guess I reformatted it like a month ago.
Oh, you had
it
already.
I never installed a lot of stuff.
I was going to ask if you're rich because you can't buy computers anymore.
First, they came for our graphics cards, and I didn't say anything. And then they came for the RAM, and I was still silent.
Because I already had a computer that worked, and it didn't affect me until like a couple of months later when I needed a new computer.
What I'm very happy about is it's kind of like, I mean, I feel like other YouTube people can relate to this. Every time you post a video and you know there's income coming in, that's when you feel like you can actually invest in things.
Take a breath.
So I think it was the liquid nitrogen video. I posted it, and I'm like, damn. We can finally do some upgrades. So I went and a lot of the computers that we were using were at least like they were around like 5 years old. My brother's was 7 and our friend Nick's was 8. Like they were like computers. Like I literally built it as just like a personal computer in 2016. One of them,
you know,
actually my brother and Nick got hand-me-downs, but we rebuilt like the editing computers. And literally, like 2 months after I built them, the RAM prices went up by 3 times.
I've never in my life been so attracted to the old shit PCs that you have around. Yeah. Like I have,
yeah.
There's two computers here that are.
You start looking at them like, what you got in there?
Yeah. Like, wait, it's why? Like you're in prison,
oh, you're
right?
Saying 'cause of their
parts. And all of a sudden the dating pool has gone down to basically nothing, right? You're like, you start looking at things in a way that you normally never would have looked at before. I'm not going to get more specific than that, but these computers that are just sitting that are probably 10 years old that have, you know, like 16 or 32 gigs of RAM, and like they're high-end computers from the time, but like not anymore, are like starting to look like a viable.
I could use that for a project. Like, why shouldn't I?
Well, because you know how much that computer would cost right now?
Yeah, like
probably $2,000. Like actually.
Yeah.
Like the RAM in general, I told my brother if the RAM prices had gone up, I would not have even made the computers because I was like, you know what? I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to put 128 gigs of RAM of DDR5.
You're the reason why RAM is so expensive right now. You bought it all.
He bought one stick of RAM, you asshole.
Guess how much in Canadian 128 gigs of DDR5 was?
Over 1,000. No, 1,200.
No, for me, how much I paid.
How long ago?
I was going to say 1,200 Canadian.
I did it in like, whenever I posted the video, maybe like October. I don't know when it was.
Oh, when you bought it.
I could. Yes, exactly.
Oh, 600 Canadian.
I'm going to look it up. I think it was
128?
Okay, I have one.
I'd say like 400 American.
August?
No, not even.
Of 2024, so a year and a half ago, I bought 128 gigs of RAM. Corsair, Vengeance, DDR4. And it cost me $240.
Oh, okay.
That, I think, is at least $1,000 right now. Wait, we can click on it. Let's see if it's still even
available. So, like, my RAM was 480 Canadian.
This is like $800. Yours is 480 Canadian.
Is it so like $300-something US.
DDR5.
So there's DDR4 that's 1,100 for 128.
Five.
Yeah, you can't even get DDR5.
Not even a thing right now. DDR5, 128. This is like $1,400 for some name brand.
Yeah. In Canadian, what I paid $480 for is right now on eBay for $1,400 or $1,500.
Yeah, so you got some nice.
That's
nice
obscene.
RAM.
Okay, now I'm mad at AI.
Oh, yeah, eBay. Yeah. Actually, yeah. PC, a Canadian website is selling it. Oh, wait, sir, that's laptop memory.
But think of it like this, right? Like, you don't need to buy RAM. All you need to do is pay a couple of dollars a month for, like, 14 different services that will do your creative work for you on their server.
Yeah. So really, we're just outsourcing our RAM.
Exactly.
To the data centers.
Instead of having to pay for our RAM up front for a couple hundred dollars, over our life, we can spend tens of thousands of dollars paying other companies so that they can do our work for us.
Yeah. You know, like the best part about RAM is when it's not instant.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
There's a latency to your request.
This is why I like to use film when taking
That's my favorite
photos.
Part about high-speed memory.
Right. It like makes you value the time you spend on a computer because everything you would like it to do takes a lot of time and money.
Yeah. So you really feel like your money's working.
Yes. Now imagine
it feels like there's a lot going on.
All the tools you use on a daily basis, they don't work at all if your internet goes out, which is like the bottleneck to your entire, you know, paycheck. That you need to pay for rent and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like the future really is starting to look bright.
First, they came for my graphics cards and I didn't say anything. And then the clankers started drinking our water and I didn't say anything. And then they came for the RAM.
I know.
And there was no one left to speak.
The clankers are stealing our RAM and I think we need to uprise.
I think so too. Kill them. Kill them all.
Kill the clankers.
Rip their RAM out of their spine.
Why can't they just make more?
Where's the RAM? You know, where is the RAM? They can't stop us all.
What?
If we just go into the data center and start
fucking
ripping
desert.
It out.
It's like hair in my eye right now. Yeah. What desert? What dry ass desert?
Give me some names here. I want to know some names.
Of a state. What state? What small little town?
No, what address?
What address for the data center?
Yeah.
Dude,
I don't think you should ask those questions.
I bet you can't miss it. I bet you it's the biggest fucking building you've ever seen in your life.
They have like security at those.
Oh,
like
definitely.
Armed security.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Yeah.
Because they know we're going to steal their RAM.
All, but, so all I'm waiting for, well, I've said this before, but with my friends, but I actually think it's going to be very disappointing. I'm waiting for the day when the AI bubble bursts and all of those cards get flooded onto the market because there's 8 quadrillion cards. But then I realized that they're not actually graphics cards. They're just like rendering cards.
I thought that was going to happen with crypto. It kind of did. How did, like, you know, okay, crypto is cigarettes and AI is vaping. Like, you got, oh, cigarettes are, like, not cool anymore. You're like, okay, cool, we're done with cigarettes. And then vaping swoops in and, like, picks all those people up.
I think it's entirely different. Because with crypto, you're still profitable.
Yeah.
If you have old
graphics
cards.
No, I mean, like, consuming, like consuming all the CPU resources, right? Like, because GPUs were, like, a pain in the ass to find because buildings filled with them mining Bitcoin.
Yeah, but now they've mostly moved on to ASICs and specialty miners.
Yeah, but like I thought there would be a collapse.
But then all the other cryptocurrencies might still use graphics cards.
Yeah. So it's like we never
but
got
then,
the
like,
collapse.
As
like,
crypto was probably moving away from graphics
then AI
cards,
picks
AI picks
yeah.
up.
So we never got our bubble popping.
I know. But I think that, yeah, I think Nigel's right. Like once AI starts moving on, like they're just going to completely abandon the old generation cards and grab new cards.
Yeah.
You can't like stay competitive with old cards in AI.
But then where do the old cards go? Where's the market? Where's like the aftermarket?
Is probably just back to the crypto people. Who knows?
Like, is that where is that trickle down?
Maybe they're going to buy all of them.
Trickle down Graphonomics?
I wonder. I feel like the way that the AI stuff's going to, in, do you think OpenAI or any of these mega companies, but like these massive data centers, if they decide to upgrade or change all their cards, do you think they're going to sell them or just landfill them?
New building, more data. I genuinely think this is actually
very
interesting question.
Never replace them.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I think that's a great question, Nigel. And I think there's somebody out there that could answer it. Like, for example, when you store files on Google Drive or Dropbox, where are those? Okay. The cloud. Where is the cloud, right? Like, you know, like the idea of like technical debt, like this is a huge problem with, you know, software platforms when they grow. I think like Twitter had this problem. I think like Vine, I think a lot of these companies had this problem. It's like, it's you and me. We kind of know a little bit of software. We do a thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it blows up for like, you know, millions or tens of millions of users. And we're sitting there looking at this like piece of shit software that we wrote. And we're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And so they never like, it was never built to handle that. It was built from the ground. You said like how bad Facebook is. I think it's like a cancer, right? Like, and so you end up with this whole platform that was like never designed to be good. It was just made. And then you have to start band-aiding it later. And I think like storing files is a good example. These data centers is like, you build this enormous piece of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You're storing information, but you can't ever turn it off.
Ever.
So if you invest money to like build a new one, you have to then have the new one take over the old one, and then you take the old one down to then upgrade it.
Yeah, you have to have like a RAID array of data centers.
Right. So I could see they maybe would like, they would like go through it, upgrading it all at once. Or sorry, like slowly, right? Where you like upgrade like one rack at a time.
Yeah.
But I also could see it genuinely being cheaper to just make a new building.
Yeah.
And then building a new data center and then the old ones just keep going. Like what's cheaper? Living in a house that's like kind of not great.
Yeah. Or fixing the whole thing all at once.
Fixing the whole thing all at once. And like you have to move out.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Where it's like, it just, I think there's enough money in it where they just leave it forever. That's my guess, but it's probably somebody that has a bit more experience with this that could tell us. Like, maybe they slowly upgrade it. Maybe they leave it forever. Maybe they, you know, I don't think they'll ever decommission it until it's like completely fucked.
If it is like, you know, they just replace some modules in the rack, then they could like, you know, take the two racks next to it and condense it down to one rack.
Yeah.
In a way of like all the data will now fit in one
more
rack
drives.
Instead of two. So maybe that's how you could go through it.
Like a constant migration of, I don't know.
Yeah, and then once they get to the end of this like center, they have to go all the way back around and just start again with the new generation of stuff.
Like how do videos get delivered to people, right? Like how does like when you post a video on YouTube, like when it's at its peak, you could be having like, you know, I mean, I don't know, Nigel, like maybe 100,000 views an hour. What's your peak? Maybe somewhere between 50.
I don't know. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like let's say like peak 100. imagine trying to deliver 100,000. Like, I'm pretty sure that YouTube treats like a video from one of us way differently than a video that a person that nobody subscribes to uploads. Like, where you have to definitely have your video stored multiple places all over.
Yeah, their so servers I everywhere. Upload it to YouTube, and YouTube's like distributes it to all of the like the servers around the country.
There's no way it's one file. There's no way it's one file, right? Like, it literally has to get like I bet you the amount of processing that has to happen to deliver a video when you post it is insane.
Yeah, versus like, one like a smaller channel, it can just live on one server.
Yeah,
because it's not going to be distributed to a million people at once.
Exactly. I don't know how any of this works, but all I know is there's no way that like a single file on a single server could serve that many.
Oh yeah, and there's probably like multiple copies of the video and stuff like that too.
Like, how does that? How the hell does like, dude? I think it's like witchcraft.
I feel like that's. I mean, my knowledge is very limited, but I know a lot of the backup that I do is through Backblaze as like cloud storage. And if you compare the price between Backblaze and like Google or even Amazon, the price is way lower. And when I quickly looked it up, because, you know, you're wondering, okay, if it's so much lower, then is this like something weird going on? But ultimately, they just store it in one location. Whereas Amazon, Google, Microsoft is exactly like what you said. You upload one file and they're like, oh, we put it on the East Coast server, the West Coast server. We have, you know, a South American server, a European server, an Asian server. And it goes everywhere. So then you're kind of, it's like you upload one file, but then there's like 15 copies in the world, which also means that, you know, if a meteor hits Eastern US, you still got your file in Asia that you can pull. Whereas if a meteor hits the Backblaze headquarters, you just lose everything.
Yeah, that's huge. This is awesome.
Wait, doesn't Google store data on physical tapes?
Jeez, I have no idea.
They do.
Is it?
Like, but I wonder what they use, like what data? Is that like our Google Drive is on tapes?
Maybe it's like deep storage?
Yeah, but what is deep storage?
Like stuff that... hasn't been accessed for a decade. Is it
stuff? Oh, maybe.
Is it denser? I don't know. But why? Maybe it's like easier to store it.
I think it's the denser. Tapes? Yeah.
Or deep storage.
I think it's. I think the density.
It's very
is high
cheap. I think that's what it is. It's extremely cheap.
Yeah, I think it's cheap and it lasts because I know that like flash is trash for like long term storage, and I think hard drives are pretty good, but they might have some issues. I don't know. I feel like it's just cheap and good and doesn't deteriorate fall apart.
Google uses tape storage. It's called LTO technology for cost-effective, high-secure cold storage and critical backups. So it's like they do backups in case of like data center failings or cyber attacks. So Google restored Gmail after a 2011 bug using the tape.
Oh.
Backup tape.
This is for their system. It's like, it's not necessarily, it's like their RAID 100 is like offside
like,
disks.
Yeah. And it's all robotic too.
Okay.
I like pull the tapes, read them, all that kind of stuff.
I feel like it kind of makes sense because, you know, we're running stuff, making files, and we go, we want to back it up to the cloud. But then where does Google back it up? Do they back it up to, they're not going to be like, we're going to back it up to the Amazon cloud. Like that doesn't make any sense. So if they're going to back up, for example, like Gmail, it kind of makes, I mean, I'm assuming this is what they do. They just have, they take a snapshot every so often of, you know, the state of things. And then if things explode, they can put it back. Because I don't see, you're not going to give that your data to a competing company.
Like a very,
you kind of have to do it yourself.
We're backing them up. They're backing us up. We're backing them up. You just keep starting new companies using the same infrastructure. And you're like, yeah, we use Google Drive, but Google doesn't know that. And so they are storing their stuff with you, but you're just using them. Isn't that how this whole AI thing is working anyways?
Yeah, it's like one big human centipede.
Genius.
We should talk about drugs.
Cool.
We were talking about
Nigel ate a handful of Tylenol before this podcast.
Yeah.
And then you were talking about you were paranoid about dropping it because your cat. And then, and then I was like, oh, wow, that's very interesting for you to say, because that brought up this memory that lives in my head every time I take any of pharmaceuticals. I wouldn't say shame. Anxiety. I would just say my dumbass cat. So, you know, when you like you're holding something and you drop it and it disappears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you hear like a
click,
click, click. Ding, 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 and then you're like, where did that go?
Exactly. And so this happened once. I was taking my morning Adderall prescription and I dropped it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it.
You're like, how far could it have possibly gotten? And you're like, you start with a small area right by your feet. Then you're like, okay, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Witchcraft.
Where'd it go? Like actually, where'd it go?
Yeah.
And the only trick I have is, I mean, obviously other than listening to it, which is awful if you're in the garage and you have headphones in it and you drop a screw, you don't have like literally the one clue of just your ears figuring out what direction it went in. Is to take my phone, turn the flashlight on, and put it all the way against the ground.
Oh,
so you can try to cast shadows off the ground if you have like a noisy floor.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have no idea where the Adderall went, and I took another one. And then later that day, my cat is acting very strange.
Oh, like, no.
Your cat caught every rat in a square mile radius.
I don't think it works the same with cats. I think it, I don't know how it works with cat. I don't know. All I know is he was not acting strange in like a murdering rats in a mile radius. He was more just like very lethargic and kind of like.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I find the pill chewed up.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Did it like get into the pill?
I don't know. I have no idea. It wasn't really into the pill.
You think maybe it just got a few...
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Because you take the extended release. It's like the pill filled with a bunch of balls in it.
Yes.
So it got some balls out.
I don't know if my cat had any balls in its mouth.
Okay.
But I do know that he chewed on it. Hmm. And I do know that he was acting weird. And I think that it could have been causation or correlation. I don't know. I don't know which where we were. But I think maybe Adderall doesn't do good things for cats.
That would probably kill your cat.
That's kind of the vibe I had at the time. And so, is it deadly? Yeah.
I mean,
so,
the dose would be like you taking 12 pills at once. Probably more. Probably like 24 pills at once.
Yeah. Yep. And so that was a do not drop your Adderall. Moment for me. I was like, yep, nope.
Also, thankfully, cats are so picky that the like chance of them actually eating the pill is super low.
It's infuriating. Have you ever had to give a cat medicine? Even your dog's medicine?
Yeah.
They do everything they can to spit the pill out. And then this asshole voluntarily starts eating one.
Yeah, you couldn't do it if you tried.
No, couldn't do it if you tried. But the instant it falls on the ground and disappears, he finds it and starts chewing on it. So I don't know. Maybe he chewed on it and like enough of it dissolved that it started negatively affecting him. Is there a dosage of Adderall you could give a cat that would have the same effect?
Oh, for sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because like maybe like he didn't eat the pill. So like, I don't know. I have no idea. Anyways, that's my drug story.
I bet you could give a cat 1 milligram of Adderall.
What do you think they would do? Dude, someone's definitely done this. This is how scientists make our medicine.
Yeah, exactly.
What do rats do on Adderall? Just
they break out of the maze.
Is that
I
what
don't
happens?
Know.
Does your... Maybe he was just like heart rate increase and he's just like freaking out.
Yeah, I don't think they have like the same reward mechanism that we do.
Maybe it's just much...
Or they're like not conscious to understand what's going on. So they just like, they get all the side effects.
He's like fully like.
Yeah. Or it affects their, you know, there's like part their half of Adderall affects your like sympathetic nervous system and half affects your like central nervous system. So that's why you get like that kind of jittery feeling. Your heart rate goes up because it's affecting like half affects your body, half affects your brain.
Mm.
So maybe it's... Felt your cat weird. Doesn't have a very big brain.
Yeah, I know.
So it's all body.
So you just felt maybe like...
Yeah.
Maybe my cat was just high. In a bad way.
In a bad way.
Sorry, Jimbo. Don't eat pills you find on the ground. That's the moral of this story.
Nigel, has your cat ever eaten a pill? Or a lab
Not
chemical?
Not that I know of. Nah. He hasn't been to the lab. Mm. I would never let him go around the lab. He would definitely lick everything.
That'd be bad.
Yeah, he would mess up the lab.
I'd let him. He's been at the office, but he wasn't allowed in like the workshop or the lab area.
One time, I went out to dinner with Sandra or something, and we left a bottle. She left a bottle of ibuprofen on the counter, and the dogs jumped up on the counter, knocked it off. The bottle hit the ground and opened up, and we get home and we're like, "There's a bunch of pills on the floor. We have no many.
It's like an
no
overdose scene in like a crew crime show,
exactly." And they were trying to get like the goldfish that were further back on the counter. They couldn't get them, so they were like jumping up. They knocked the pills over. And we don't know how many they ate.
They definitely ate them.
So I look it up, and apparently ibuprofen is like deadly for dogs. You know, like it's like a two pill kind of thing. And we're like, oh, great. So like, we have no idea how many they ate, if they ate some. So I think there was also like goldfish on the floor too. So it's like they did get the goldfish. So I'm like, great. We have to go to a vet or something like that. But they were all closed because it was late. So we call an emergency vet and we're like, what do we do? And they said, you have to get your dog to throw up. And we're like, okay, how do we do that? And they said, hydrogen peroxide. You have to like feed your dog like, you know, a few ounces or like shots of hydrogen peroxide. And let me tell you, they do not like hydrogen peroxide.
Did it?
Well, we couldn't get them to swallow. Like we're like trying to like, I put it in a water bottle and we were like squirting it in their mouth, like the 3% stuff. And they were just like, just spitting out the peroxide. Their mouths were foamy. They looked like rabid little goblins.
The vet just told you to do some shit that's basically impossible.
Yeah. And so what we ended up doing was we soaked a bunch of goldfish in hydrogen peroxide, and the dogs just went, ate it all. Ate all the goldfish, and then they threw up like 10 minutes later.
They did?
Yeah.
Did you dig through the throw up for pills?
Yeah, we had to. And guess what?
None.
No pills.
But did poisoning their glorious fishies with peroxide, did that make them second guess their love for fishies?
Love goldfish. It's like their favorite treat. They can hear me opening a bag if they're dead.
There's
asleep.
No association.
I genuinely think that you are happier if you are dumber. And Kevin's dogs are like a big part of that thought process for me. Like the less that you can think about things, the more excited you just get about, like, everything's a surprise.
Yeah.
You're like, you get to look forward to stuff. You're not worried about the consequences because you don't actually know
none.
How to correlate the consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, well, like, I think the best, I mean, the only example I can give of that is just being a kid. Because, you know, there's a point in your life as a kid, you're not even sure what dying is.
Yeah.
You know, bills don't really make any sense. Everything always gets better. Like, you know,
right.
And I feel like you're describing the dog. That's kind of the state they always live in.
Especially if you have good parents, you don't realize there's like a warrior fighting for your existence your whole life. Like you just have this shield in front of you. Like,
but that's what's traumatizing when you have to go into the real world and you realize that, you know, you've been protected this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely every time I read any sort of story or whatnot on Reddit of like people's traumatic childhoods, it's like, I don't know how somebody could do that.
Yeah.
To their kid.
Drugs. It is. I mean, this is just like it is kind of interesting because it's like, I don't know why I just thought about this. It's like if you experience life too young, you get traumatized. Mm-hmm.
No, you get hardened.
So all
that's trauma.
So no, that's character.
All your parents are doing is trying to get your brain to grow, to develop enough that when the real world hits, you don't just crack and fall apart.
Yeah.
Like you have your brain is developed enough to like persevere through the real world. Whereas if the real world comes too early, you just dissolve.
I think, honestly, like it is I don't know how to describe this other than there's like a plethora of things happening. Like one, if you don't feel like you have to worry about the little things, you can think about the bigger things.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like your ambitions can be bigger. Like if you're worried about paying bills and you're like, oh, I have to get a job to help my parents pay for our rent, you're not thinking about, you know, doing any like maybe extracurricular or thinking bigger about the future. You're like, I need to get a job now.
Yeah.
And this is Chelsea, I think, kind of grew up a little bit like this. And if you don't have to worry about those things. You can be more interested in stuff at school or more interested in extracurriculars or more.
It's like the hierarchy of needs.
Right. And so if your needs become, you know, your immediate survival, you're going to think about that. And then during your childhood, instead of, you know, like having bigger dreams or ambitions, you're going to be focusing your time on just the survival part of your existence. And so I think that, like, you know, it's very important to provide some semblance of like a safety net so that you people grow up thinking about the bigger picture of what they wanted, of what they could do in their life or what their ambitions are.
Yeah.
Not just about the immediate, like, I must survive. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's probably the biggest gift you could give your kids is them not having to focus on the ground and let them look up, you know, at the sky. Like,
oh, totally.
If that makes any sense. Like, I think that would suck.
No, I think it does. Because it's like a huge amount of, I mean, what I even do today is because I had time as a kid to be like, my goal this weekend is to like cut open fireworks and make a really cool whatever something. Or I want to build a ramp so I can jump my bike off of it. And like that is what kind of, completely turned me into the person I am today. Whereas, if at age 14, I had to get a job because my parents were struggling. Yeah. And it's just like.
But I feel like having to get a job is not even as bad as this like fear that you have to get a job. Like you literally have to contribute is like so much
worse. It's like the weight is on you.
Yeah. Like it's almost, exactly. It's like that pressure of like, oh my God, like I need to contribute to this household to like make sure that we, you know, like. Like, I don't know. There's something I think traumatic about that.
But Nigel, that's so funny. My dad also showed me how to cut open fireworks, like, you know, the round mortars and like pour out all the gunpowder beads. Yeah.
Your dad showed you
that?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My dad didn't show me it, but I discovered it on my own that you could like, I didn't get the massive ones, but and I figured out the ones that were the most powerful, but like, you know, cherry bomb type ones. It launches the firecracker.
You guys are lucky.
Yeah, so it's just filled with like, there's no stars in it. It's only flash. Nothing, stars that fly out. No sparks, just like a grenade that shoots into the air.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what you realize, because in Canada, firecrackers are illegal, but I was like, I can just cut open this thing and just take the firecracker out. And then I would tape the original fuse from the thing onto it. And then you just blow stuff up. I found one of them that was the most powerful, but it did start to scare me. Cause I'm like, these are the things that if you hold them, it'll just blow your fingers off.
Yeah.
That I'm like,
It's a parent's job not to tell their kid not to play with fireworks, but to show them the spaghetti hands. Like here, like let's sit down. We're going to watch Spaghetti Hands together. And then you can make your own decisions in life.
Well, what is funny is that never happened to me, but I was browsing the internet and Spaghetti Hands, you know, presented itself.
Ye old spaghetti.
That was one of the last days I played with fireworks. Mm-hmm.
You know,
I was already worried. And then when I saw that and I was like, that is what would happen. To be fair, I was always safe. So I'll say the one thing that my dad did, because we grew up with BB guns and my dad had little firecrackers. He did instill like the two things. He was like, if you don't wear safety goggles with almost like with most things, he's like, you're stupid. And he's like, something will happen and you're stupid. And he goes, and never throw firecrackers or fireworks. Cause he's like, you'll blow your fingers off or have like some damage. I think cause when he was a kid, he knew people who lost eyes or had hand damage. But he instilled that so heavily in us that we never threw those big firecrackers. But I just the idea that if I screwed up, I could become like Spaghetti Hands completely stopped me from playing with them anymore.
You know what I would do if my child is ever into fireworks or doing it? We watch Spaghetti Hands and I'd be like, you know, it's your life. You can make your decisions. And I just want you to know that if you do ever blow your hands off, I will always be there to wipe your ass for you. I think that if either of my parents had said something like that to me,
yeah.
I think that I would have never touched fireworks again. The fear of being like, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not the hands. It's the idea it's of the, like having to rely butt. On your parents to wipe your ass would have been like, ah!
Oh, I forgot to say, I could send you the video if I can. I should be able to find it. What also scared me was these firecrackers. I started thinking, like I said, I think it was after the spaghetti hands. I started thinking, what would this do if I held on to it? Like, I'm only, just from what we've seen it do to things that we blow up, I'm assuming it could be bad. So I decided to run an experiment. This is one of the first, you know, recorded Nile Red experiments.
Is this the hot dog glove?
That was earlier. This one was, we just bought chicken. It's kind of the same thing. Yeah. I think I told you about it. We bought some chicken cutlets. And was it chicken cutlet? I think it was. Or yeah, we wrapped it around the firecracker. And then I connected to a lab stand. And when it went off, it just sprayed the fence with chicken. And I was like, yep, I've seen enough here.
Nope. No, thank you.
It's just chicken paste on the fence, and I'm just like
atomized it, just vaporized the poor chicken.
Yeah, I feel like we had that experience far too late in life with the Peter's Three Pool.
Oh yeah,
order cannon. We've definitely talked about that.
But like, still had it.
Yeah, no, that was. Every time we have this conversation, it's like all I could think about is like, man, I could straight up just not have like half my face.
Yep, that could have been me. Mm-hmm. It's like that's funny. We're like, oh yeah, sorry, Pete. Like you know. Mm-hmm.
And he's totally all, fine
like,
too.
You just like, project it onto yourself. Like that could have been me.
Could have been me.
We got lucky.
You're like, that's so bad for you, Peter. But what's worse is that could have been me.
But I think that everybody deserves to be able to almost blow their face off. You know, when I was a kid in Indiana at my grandparents' house, we could buy any firework. And that was like, they would just sell us the bootleg fireworks, like straight up at the fireworks store. Here, take some of these kids. And he just gives us a handful of like real M80s. And so we're in her backyard throwing like M80s into this dried up lake. This time of year, it's like dry and it's the muckiest muck. It's that ooey gooey,
sticky
icky, sloppy toppy mud on the bottom of the lake. And it just like blows this huge crater in the mud. And it's like
globs of mud.
Globs like slapping down on the ground. And it's just like the crater holds its shape. We're like, that's sick. So we were throwing them.
But you never had any like.
No, but we knew what they would do.
Yeah. And we could blow like a freaking 12-inch diameter crater in the mud. It's definitely going to blow a hole in your hand too.
Yeah.
Oh, Nigel, we have something to show you.
Is it related to what
we've
been talking about? I'm just very excited to show you this. Somebody clipped. Well, we'll just show you. It's I would say it's a Nile Red TikTok thirst trap.
Hmm.
How do you feel about the Nile Red TikTok thirst traps? Have you ever figured out why you get so many of these? Do you think about this at all? I think about it all the time. And I literally don't know. I don't have
Are you making them?
I'm not making them.
Do you ever come across them organically on your own? Like you're scrolling and you're like, all you see on your page, all your for you is you? No, okay.
I've only been sent them. Against my will.
What do you mean against your will? This might be my favorite one. And I don't, John, do you have the link? Yeah, it's in the, I've watched this probably a dozen times now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get old. It starts here in the podcast. I literally don't know
you somehow instigated it. Yeah.
I instigated it. I genuinely, this is the funniest thing that I think has ever come out of this podcast.
Yeah.
Is this
John? You got it?
Nigel, who's trying to suck you dry?
That's a good question.
it's so like suave. Like,
I know.
That's a good question.
It makes it seem like, yeah, you know?
All right, pause it before we get copyright striped.
But really, he's just trying to like totally deflect from that question.
You have not seen that, have you?
No, it's horrible.
That's great, right?
Whoever like, makes these needs help.
Quick, let's click on their profile. What else do they have
in
there?
I don't mean help making more. I mean help.
You're like, oh, that's a good question. anyways, I've definitely watched that a lot, and I'm gonna keep watching it.
I think you need help.
Nigel literally just falls up. He's like the classic.
How?
Deflects from a question because he doesn't want to answer it, and makes him just seem like a much more cool.
Kevin, what do you mean I'm deflecting? I'm just cool.
You're like had it was like prepared, like yeah. The perfect response yeah. to such an awful question.
Dude, I'm super prepared, you know, always on my toes.
That's it. That's all I wanted to show you.
Wait, I want to see the rest of their TikTok though.
Oh, you want to click through it?
Yeah. I want to learn.
Is there anything else on there, John?
Do you think maybe they made a fan cam of me?
Or no, nobody makes fan cams. I don't. It's only Nigel.
Who's trying to suck you off right now, Will?
Ah, shit. Nobody. Did that come across cool? I don't think so.
You gotta act coy.
Okay, what else do we got?
So if someone asks you that, Will, you have to answer. You have to be like, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
You gotta have a You gotta have a vague answer.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Wait, there's two. Oh God, one of them.
Another Nigel one.
Okay, there's two Nigel fan cams. What's the one? How many views does the one have? Scroll down a little bit. 70,000. Okay, what's the other one?
Oh, is this?
There was one I remember the last time we watched it where it was just like some girl like humping her bed.
What?
Yeah, you were. I don't. It was like you saying something,
and she was just like, "Ugh." Oh, I think I do remember that. Yeah,
it was so degenerate. It was like. I cannot believe somebody filmed this and posted it.
I think that one was like
a meme?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bold.
It was what?
A bold meme.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Only the bold.
I don't know how you do it, Nigel. You, if you could write a book to explain how you do that, you would sell a lot.
Fortune favors the bold.
Yeah. Fortune. Yes. The name of the book, Fortune Favors the Bold.
I told you, my first tip, you have to act coy.
That's the opposite of bold.
Yeah.
Bold and brash.
You know, sometimes things are paradoxical.
How do you feel about an anime figurine? We make anime figurines of us. I know that Nigel would sell that.
We're just using his sales to subsidize our
ours. Yeah. Yeah. It's a 3-pack you have to buy. I have
no strong feelings.
Would you want to be
Oh, yeah.
Sexy man or a sexy
girl?
Or
like feminized sexy man. Yeah. Like, would you want to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like the
anime.
Like
oh,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like the waifu pillow, like a waifu version of yourself.
I'll do whatever sells the best.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's like lab made Nigel or.
Buff. I don't know. I feel made. I feel like made. I don't know. Personally.
Or you know, like how they always have like the. Dude, all the animes where it's like set in Victorian times and like you have the guy, like, you know, JoJo, how they're dressed that. Something like that.
Clothes are ripping off.
Wait, Nigel JoJo would be good.
Siwa?
Yeah. Nice. No, not Siwa. Jotaro.
Okay. Joestar. I know that like manufacturing stuff like that, you end up, the whole thing would basically be for fun. Like you would, it would literally not make any money because it costs so much money to make those and you'd have to sell a ton of them. So It would only do it literally just for fun.
What if we could do a collab with like Hollow Live?
Well,
like Nigel in a Gwargura.
I don't know. Costume. I have no idea what that is. You're gonna have to elaborate.
Or that's like the only one I know. What's or like the mouse one.
Gwargura.
Yeah, she's the shark one.
Airport in New York.
And then there's the titmouse or the mouse. Who's the mouse one?
Anything about what is? Can you explain what Hollow Live is?
How do you not? Okay, Hollow Live is the VTuber collective.
Yeah,
and they have a bunch of VTubers, in the Hollowverse.
Okay,
which is Hollow Live, and I don't know. I think most of them are like actually Japanese. There's some American ones here, and I don't know. They just stream. You know, that's it.
That's
sometimes
it.
They make music. So they play games. Yeah,
they're just like it's just.
VTuber personas.
Oh, what's different between that and just...
And they do collabs YouTuber. With each other.
That sounds just like YouTube.
Well, Hollow Live is like this huge, huge studio. You know, it's like they're like idol level VTubers. They're not just like your run of the mill, like random person.
Company talent.
Yeah.
We can audition for Hollow Live?
Yeah, it is.
Live?
It's company talent.
Do they allow white American men? What's the criteria?
You have to sound... Yeah. Sound sexy?
How does that?
And cute?
Who's the judge?
I have not. The guy, the VTuber. Mm. I don't know. He has a name. They mentioned.
So you're
him.
Saying Nigel has a chance.
Nigel could definitely be on a VTuber stream.
What do you mean?
I'm saying as like a guest.
Like you mean I just. Oh. Why couldn't you be on the stream?
Don't think we have that appeal.
I could probably do it.
What would your character be? Is it like human or is it like animal themed? Do they do the animal theme thing?
I think actually it probably would only work if you streamed too, you know? Mm. So like you like, but then you go onto their channel or do something and then you're a VTuber avatar too and
it
would just
dudes
be funny.
Or is it just women?
There's dudes. I don't know if on the Hollowverse. How do you, it's on Reddit all the time and yeah. I had to like download an extension to block it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just scroll past it. And I don't ask any questions. I know it exists.
There's so, I have like, oh man. I've blocked like half, over like 40 subreddits from
UFO?
Appearing on the front page. Hell no.
Okay.
I'm blocking everything until that just comes up naturally.
Yeah. Okay. So you had some stuff you wrote on this whiteboard last time that I'm curious about. It's been here for a while.
Oh, what have
Big
we never gotten
fan.
To? Big ass fans. I feel like, Nigel, have I talked about my dream fan? How every fan
no.
that they sell is weak and pathetic. And I want to make like a freaking turbo fan.
A ceiling fan?
No, like a desk fan or the slightly bigger, like a box fan sized fan.
But would you have to like bolt that to your desk or something?
Why?
Because everything you buy, like, okay, so say like an 8-inch desk fan that you would put on your computer desk or something like that.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Doesn't blow.
No. You want, are you like hot?
If you look at them, no, but you know, if you want a fan to move air around a room,
right?
You like can't really do it. I don't know. You need a big fan to do it, right?
Yeah.
Because they make the fans like scale their power with how big they are.
Yeah.
So if you want, you know, so I don't want to have a 18 or 24 inch fan in the room to move some air around.
You just make a 12-inch fan spin faster.
Well, you can't do that. Nobody sells that. If you look at the back of a computer or
what's,
like a desk
what's
fan,
the problem
it
you're
says
trying to
10
solve? Are
watts.
You just like watching Hollow Live getting far too sweaty?
No, I just want a small fan that has a lot of power.
For cooling yourself down or moving the air in your room?
Both.
Stirring up dust?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to like...
Everybody agrees with me. Fans aren't that powerful.
They're
you know,
not.
You turn it to 3 and you're like, wow, I wish it had a 4 or a 5.
But like what like to just have more air? To be colder?
Why is fan speed such a
No,
a
I'm trying to get to the bottom of the problem. Is it like
there isn't
a problem. It's more of just like I want
Wait,
my fan to be faster.
Okay.
And fans, if you look at the wattage rating, it's really weak. And I'm like,
Could
why don't
more?
They just make bigger fans?
Because wait, what did you say, Nigel?
I was going to say that I think we're in a situation where Will just doesn't get it, Kevin. Those who get it, get it.
What? Yeah, exactly. And those who get it, don't need, get it.
Get it. You don't need to explain. Like, you just have to say fancy to be stronger, and you'll get some people who will, you know, who fight for that and will, no matter what you explain to him, he won't
get it. I'm just asking questions.
So I think this started when I was in Florida, and I had this, like, double-sided garage, so you could, like, drive through the whole garage. So I would open both garage doors, but there would never be a breeze. So I'm like, I would get a few of those box fans and I would set them up on one side to try to create this, like, draft through the garage, but they just weren't powerful enough. So I'm like, you know, if you go to Home Depot, you get, like, the whatever size fan.
The big one.
They're pretty much always, like, a box fan.
Yeah.
They're always, like, the same wattage. You know, then if you get the slightly bigger box fan that's, like, you know, $50, that might be a 30 or 40 watt fan versus a 20 watt fan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you have to have, like, three or four big fans to move any air.
You want to create, like, a wind tunnel.
No, I was saying if you just had one really powerful fan that was the size of a box fan.
Right.
It would move a lot of air, and then you would only need one fan.
Why don't they do that?
I don't know, because they only use the cheapo AC induction motors.
Right.
That are, like, very linearly scaled to how big they are to how much power they can put out.
You want like a
I want a brushless motor.
You want like a 10 kilowatt, 50 horsepower, like, box fan?
You have to put sandbags down. You'll have to put sandbags down on this fan to keep it from blowing away.
Why they don't sell those? They would kill the people that bought it.
No, you would just put, like, you know, a support, give it like the triangle stand.
You got to put the big warning stickers. Do not stand in the intake zone of the fan, or you get fucking
sucked
in the jet engine.
That would be so cool.
You could just buy an old shitty airplane and take its jet engine off.
That would be so cool, but I can't.
Why not?
They don't. Nobody sells one. Not that I know about.
You could definitely. I've seen them on GovDeals before.
Yeah, but what if I don't want to die from
a kerosene RC jet engine? Well, then you do the Venturi thing, and you put it like 50 feet in front of the garage. So it gets the air moving, but the air from the exhaust is not going in.
I'm just saying, I want to sell huge-ass fans.
With enormous liability waivers?
Yes.
The only thing bigger than our fan is the contract you have to sign that dismisses us of all liability when you get fucking sucked into it because it's 12,000 horsepower.
You know, like, what? No, you don't, because you don't get it.
I'm not trying to be
there's some YouTube
right
videos that I would like
to
watch.
You just don't get it.
I just don't get it.
All right. Maybe John can find a video of like a 3,000 or a 5,000 watt fan.
That's a
blower
lot.
Motor startup.
That's
just
a
the
lot.
Noise that it makes is worth the money of whatever it cost.
What?
Don't. Don't think about it too much.
Okay. How much money are you willing to spend on a fan like this?
I would.
$50?
Spend. I think you could sell it for 50.
No way.
75. 100.
How many horsepower? How many watts?
So it's just like a 200 watt fan. That's the size of a, I don't know, 15 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be loud.
Okay. Maybe 300. Oh, the wattage of the fan that I have in the garage, the exhaust fan, that's 300.
Okay. I think it's kind of loud.
It cost $250.
That's true.
There's no reason.
That does not move a lot of air.
$200.
Yeah. And that's like a shitty, like, HVAC one.
Yeah.
There's no way you can sell a big fan for $50.
I think you can.
You could maybe manufacture
it. People just
in
make you think
50.
Fans are more complicated than they are.
No, it's the supply chain and the logistics and
yeah, and there's
storage.
Tons of brushless motors and airplane propellers that you can buy.
You could sell kits. That would probably help with the liability problem when people get sucked into
no,
it.
No, you just put a metal cage on it.
What if someone's cat walks?
You
in
already
front of
know
it?
Not to stick your finger inside of a fan.
Do I?
Well, no, that's why they put cages on them.
Yes. And how much does a cage cost? $50. That's already more than the price you're trying
what?
To sell.
What? No. It's injection molded. It costs $1.
Plastic?
Or even the metal ones.
You guys are high. Just get a box fan and be happy with the little bit of air it gives you.
I'm going to get a box fan and put a 10,000 watt motor on it.
Do it. And the fucking blades are going to rip off. You ever seen like a CD spinning too fast?
Yeah.
Shatters?
Yep. Yeah.
Because the problem is you got to make it spin faster. When you make it spin faster, the blades were designed to spin slower. So now your blades are going to be shit. They're not going to work great. And they're going to flex and flop.
What about you, Nigel? Would you want a really powerful... Do you agree that fans could be more powerful?
I think that it is aggravating that fans aren't more powerful. But I don't think that the position of the fan is the desk.
Brain damage. It's like 30 degrees where you live year round, Fahrenheit.
Yeah, so I'm not saying like...
What do you need a fan for? What do you need a fan for? To heat things up?
So what I'm saying is that what is hard to find is a good fan. You go to the store, you buy a fan because you're like, oh, I'm going to be, I don't know...
hot today.
Making some smoke. I want to blow the smoke away.
The box fan won't work for that? The $10 box
fan? They're garbage. I found one that... That is pretty big, and it's like a if you turned it on its face and you turned it on, it has a cage around it. It kind of feels like it's achieving some lift, and that's the one I use for everything. You hear it sounds like a propeller when it's going.
How big is it?
It's not
that
crazy. Probably like a foot and a half. The blades
in diameter or radius.
No, in radadius.
Oh, okay. So that's like wide plant. Or like a meter.
It's probably 2.5 feet as like a diameter.
Okay. So that's kind of the same thing is, you know, if you want a more powerful fan, they just make the whole fan bigger instead of making it spin faster and making the, you know, motor more powerful.
I have a fluid dynamic theory here.
Before you say it, I want to say, one of the greatest things I've ever bought is one of those little, this also replaced little compressed air canisters.
Oh, the dusters.
There's one by Wolfbox that I got. It is ridiculously powerful. And the fan is like, what? Like an inch in diameter?
Yeah.
It was like an EDF though, right? Like,
yeah, it rips. So if you scaled it up like Kevin's saying, you get like a little turbo jet.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my fan theory, my fluid dynamics theory.
Okay.
When you have a fan, a small fan, it's creating like a tunnel of moving air, right?
Sure.
And the thing that's stopping the air is like the shear layer, right? Because you have air that's not moving and then you have air that's moving, right? And so you have like this boundary that of like friction that is going to slow the air and like kind of affect the stream negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you have a really small fan and you're trying to make like a jet of air, like it won't go that far.
No.
Like an air compressor, right? You like spray the air out.
It's like immediately.
You can feel it. You can feel it. And then it pretty quickly like, you know, tapers off because that like, you know, friction, that like shear layer is like eating a lot of energy. But if you have like, you ever see like the really big fans like for open source, you see sometimes we can rent these.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Big,
they're like the 48 foot like ones.
Swamp coolers. Yeah. They're like the size of a piece of plywood.
Or 48 inch ones. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. 48 foot fan. And it's like, okay, I'm thinking like that fan is moving more air and it might be moving slower, but that shear area is like a two dimensional. It's like a surface, it's a perimeter, and the volume now of it like is like a squared, right? So you're like moving more air and the shear area is, you know, significantly smaller. Like less. And so you can move that air farther. So are you talking about like fast flow, quantity of air moving?
Like volume in
then
general?
You probably would want an enormous fan.
No, because I think you can do it with a smaller
you
fan
can, but I think
and more power.
What I'm saying is that the bigger fan will do a better job.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to avoid.
You want a small fan?
Yeah.
But then just use like the world's biggest air compressor and a tiny nozzle.
Well, I don't want that on my desk. I want, like, if I want a desk fan, like the 8-inch fan.
Just fucking rip the wall out of your room.
I want
room
it to be about twice as powerful as it is.
Stick the box fan in there. Imagine one of your walls is just a giant box fan.
That would be cool. But you know what would be cool?
What?
One really powerful box fan.
To move the air around in your room?
Yeah. Sometimes you just need a big fan.
Then,
I mean, no. Sometimes you just need a small fan with big power. And they don't make that.
I think big fan with medium power is better than small fan with enormous power.
I want a fan that's on my desk that's that small, and I want it to be able to
go way too fast
to blow my monitor off of my desk if I turn it around.
You have to bolt it to your desk.
That's beautiful. Okay,
I think you could do that. I think
that's
it would sound like a fucking RC.
Nigel's
airport.
A fan.
It would
I'm
sound like
fan.
An airport.
You're not a fan.
No, I'm not a fan. This idea sucks ass. Speaking of sucking ass.
No, it blows ass.
I really hope my family doesn't listen to this podcast for a wide variety of reasons, but specifically because I would love to talk shit about the holidays.
this is all going to be you because I know that my family watches
this.
Do they? My dad does.
Why?
My sister sometimes does.
No way. Why?
Yeah, she likes podcasts. So she's got them all on, like, I don't know, Spotify or Apple.
She literally ran out of every other podcast until she got
sometimes to this one. Ours comes up and she listens to it.
We have like a jar of tea at home. It's like a big mason jar and it's just got tea bags in it.
Okay.
Like unused. Like, I love my wife. God damn it, she listens to this to review it. Maybe I shouldn't. Anyways, it's really like, it's the worst way to store tea. It looks
amazing,
cute,
jar.
But like you can't stick your hand in it.
So you have
but
to
it's
like
also really big.
Shake out some tea bags.
You have to take them all. If you want like a tea at the bottom of the bag.
Wait, they're mixed in? There's a bunch of...
Yeah, it just happens.
Oh, okay.
So like if you want something at the bottom, because it's like everything...
Yeah. Is it kind of like, so you buy a box of tea and when you have the last few bags, you throw it in the mason jar so you can get rid of the, you know, the empty box.
That's sure, we'll say that, yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is the tea at the bottom never gets used because you literally have to, you can't stick your hand in there to dig. Like I like actually contort my hand and it still doesn't really
fit. And they kind of
there.
All wedge in there so you can't just shake them out.
Yeah, so you have to like pull them out, you know, fistfuls or like a couple at a time. Anyways, that's what I imagined when you told me your sister was listening to some podcast sometimes.
Wow, it all came back.
Desperately. It's like the only thing left. It's like the one.
Well, my dad says that he sometimes watches it to help him fall asleep.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we don't have to talk about holidays.
You sound like you want to talk.
No, we don't want to talk about it.
My family's crazy, bro. I'm going to tell you that.
Everyone's family's crazy. Is your family crazy, Nigel?
No, for the most part, no.
Okay.
I mean, it depends. You have to qualify crazy.
I just...
They got to deal with you.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I'd rather just be at home.
Yeah, but it's like Christmas.
I know.
This is the one time of year where you have to go on, you know, see your family. Or go on a plane.
I mean,
you
don't have to.
You're right. I don't have to.
I feel like it's good.
And my family, I'm not getting an inheritance or anything. So no, it really is just from the goodness of my heart.
Right. I get nothing from this. I could leave at any time.
And also I say, I don't want any presents too. I told them I didn't want any presents because, you know, we're flying with one bag. I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You still got me presents. What did you get for Christmas?
What did I get for Christmas? Snacks. I always get like beef jerky, which is a huge win. My mom buys me marzipan from World Market. I like marzipan.
Okay, World Market is a food store.
It's like a Tuesday morning, but more food oriented.
Okay, because I drove past it and I'm like, oh, World Market. I think it like I've heard of that before. They have good food.
Yeah, they
and
have.
And then I like looked inside and it's like a bunch of rugs.
Yeah, it's like that's why I
maybe
say it's
a
like
different
Tuesday
World Market.
Morning.
Okay.
It's like got shit in it. And if your parents drag you, if your mom drags you there, it's never your dad. It's like not as bad as getting dragged to like a Tuesday morning or what's the furniture store? The Pier One.
Oh, yeah.
My mom
Dude, Tuesday morning was the worst.
Fucking horrible.
I've never heard of that before.
Oh, you lucky bastard. Imagine like Princess Otto, but for... homebodies like your mom. Like imagine
you know,
your dad
like,
wants to go to like Princess Auto, your mom wants to go to the her version of that.
Hobby Lobby. You know how they have like the home decoration section and then they have like the crafts section.
Yeah.
It's only the home decoration section.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
When you're a kid, it's like genuinely the worst.
Yeah, it's like Guantanamo Bay.
It's horrible.
For kids. It's horrible.
I remember my brother and I still bring it up. My mom gets mad because we were on vacation once. And my mom was like, I really want to stop in Crate and Barrel. And she went looking for some stuff.
I would rather you drive off the overpass right now.
Yes. Put me into a barrel, fill it full of concrete, throw me into the ocean.
I think we exaggerated, but my dad straight up just went to bed on one of the display beds. And my brother and I remember, ended up, they had a random thing where you could try to grind pepper. And my brother and I got a goal to grind as much pepper as we could because there's just not a huge supply. And I, in our minds, we were there for hours. I don't know how long we were.
How big was the pile?
It was like this like little podium with like a stack of, I don't know why they set it up like that. But you could like,
Refill it. Okay.
Yeah.
Like a big hopper full of peppercorns down into a grinder. Like you cranked it with your hand.
No, like there was like a separate grinder that you could, I think the filler was for the employees. And if it went like low, they could add more. And then it's just to be this pepper grinder on display. You could just see how it works. But we set our minds to grinding all of the pepper. We didn't achieve it.
Like a hand twist one, so your wrists are like ready.
Yeah, I might have had like a crank on it. I don't know. Or it was a hand twist.
I know I've shared this before, but like the pepper grinder I have at home is like probably one of the most awesome purchases I've ever made in my life. I don't think they sell it anymore. At least it's not on Amazon. It was like $40 like 5 years ago. Fucking expensive. And it literally just looks like a hand twist one. It looks like a pepper grinder that if you saw it at the thrift store should be like $5.
Okay. How does it work? What's so special about it?
I have no idea. It's exactly the same as a normal pepper grinder. It seems to be. But the grinder is all metal.
Oh, yeah.
And it fucking rips.
Really?
Dude, it makes so much pepper.
That's, wait, is it like adjustable too? Yes. So you can have,
You just, all you have to do is like screw it on the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like, it literally feels like every other pepper grinder, but it works so goddamn well.
We had one and I took it apart and I'm like, oh, that's why it wasn't working and I had to take it apart. Plastic? It's all plastic. Yeah.
I think it could just be that it's metal. Like it literally destroys the pepper. Like you can crank, like in one turn, it will crank out all the pepper you need.
Wow.
One full turn is everything you need. Like it is fast.
This one had a dial. It was like small, meat, like fine to coarse. Yeah. It didn't do anything.
I think it was called like unicorn or something. I can't remember. Like, if I can find it. If anyone's in the market for a pepper grinder, I strongly recommend.
Oh yeah, but so gifts, Nigel. Did you get anything? Mm. Did you give any cool gifts? Did you get any cool gifts?
Unicorn. It's $70. I mean, now.
Wow.
Wow. My entire holidays have been dominated by moving. It's just been busy. But no, I feel like it's the classic. As you get older, people generally give fewer gifts and you receive fewer. Like my family started doing the gift exchange where you only have to get for one person.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just a lot to try to find gifts for everyone. But no, I got some nice stuff. Like usually it's just things that are kind of useful.
Like underwear?
Honestly, my mom, I thought my mom got me underwear, but it was like long johns for the cold weather. Those are actually really useful here.
Do they...
what else? Got some candy. Those are good. Chocolate.
My mom is the queen of stocking stuffers.
Mm.
I feel like she goes, like, that's where she spends most of her time is like finding all the coolest little trinkets that she could find that would fit in a stocking.
Mm.
But like, you know, like checkout area, Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
How it's filled with like gizmos and gadgets. God. Like that, those kind of things. Little stress balls and
my mom
fidget spinners.
Used to do that. And then one day she was like, I'm done. She's like, you're officially too old for me to do this anymore.
What?
It was just a lot. It was just
what a Grinch.
Bitch. Grinch. Grinch bitch.
No.
Yeah. Wow. I agree with Kevin.
she would wrap everything and then it was just a lot of work. And she already was also the one who cooks all the dinners.
Mm.
She kind of like solos a lot.
She did have a lot of like, how many slobs? 3-4 slobs in the house? You got two brothers and your dad.
Yeah.
That's a lot of slob.
Slobbing.
Slob. Too many slobs. I would be done too if I had to deal with that many angels.
I think my sister is the only thing that keeps my mom sane.
Really?
But here's the thing, Will. The thing that I'll give credit to my mom for, she didn't quit when we turned 18. She didn't quit when we turned 20. She didn't quit when we turned 25. She quit when I think my youngest brother was 30. That's okay. She's like, you know what? I think you guys are old enough that I don't need to get you stocking like stuff anymore.
Just wait till one of you has kids.
What? Exactly. Yeah.
We had no, I shouldn't. No, I can't.
I can tell a story.
Okay, you tell a story.
So what? Sandra's stepsister just had a baby.
Yeah,
and you know, like, so we were doing that like older person Christmas where everybody gets each other a few gifts, but mostly it's just hanging out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, we go over this year. The baby's like 1 year old, and this house was packed to the from the floor to the ceiling with gifts. I mean, they couldn't even bring all the gifts home in their car. There was like, you know, like work, little kid workbenches, rocking horses, beanbag chairs. It's like everybody bought this kid like 5 or 6 presents each.
It's like, I feel like I'm on an episode of Jeopardy and I'm like, yeah, shit kids don't need for $500.
And this kid has no idea what's going on. He's like, you know, not even 2 years old. He's 1 1/4 and what, 16 months. I'm like, don't do that to me. It's way too early in the morning. But yeah, this kid got so many presents. And like, you know, we each get one present.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, okay, we're done. So yeah, I don't know.
It was?
So it's like Christmas is renewed when there's a new kid in the family.
I don't, yeah. It's
and then all the parents feel like, wow, Christmas is back. We get to do it again.
I think there's less kids in general. I feel like. People
oh, definitely.
Kids.
Actually, yeah.
And so it's like when a kid does appear, it's like a holy miracle. And everyone just, you know, you ever seen those buffet videos with like the shrimp line?
Oh yeah. And the crab legs.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. It's like the kid is the consumer and the buffet is the family.
Yeah.
Like, and the shrimp are like flying off. Out of the bowl.
Yeah, it's like
they put a giant fan that Kevin built.
It's
in front of the shrimp.
Have you ever seen
blasting.
The movie Tenet?
Oh, I have.
With the reverse entropy buffet
it.
Line.
I watched it, but I have not seen it.
Okay.
Or yes. If that makes any sense.
Oh, it does.
Genuinely.
It's like that.
Yeah. I
Tenet reverse entropy buffet line where the kid is the shrimp.
Yes. Yes. It's like you know when you're younger and your parents are like, stay away from girls. Don't have sex. Don't do this. And then like 3 years later, they're like, meet girls, have sex, give us kids. And you're like, what the fuck, mom and dad? They're like, they went too hard.
Yeah.
They're like, no, no, no. And then they realize like, oh God, we're never going to get the thing that we want. That's grandkids.
I think the world went too hard.
You think so?
I think that's it. Scaring people from having kids.
Well, what do you mean the world? The economy?
The economy. The social everything.
I just find it very funny. Like, what's like a very controlling parent? Like, what's sort of the stereotype of that? Like, I'm trying to think of the kids that I went to school with where they had that like the most, I don't say hypocritical, but the most absurd 180, right? With the like hyper strict and then immediately like, where's my grandkids? Like, you're literally not allowed to spend time with girls. And then 3 years later, they're like, where's my grandkids? And you're looking at them like, where, what the fuck? This is not the parent I grew up with. Like, where did this pivot come from? It's like the over control. It's almost like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't have any friends like that. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that would happen with girls more.
Maybe. Yeah. Also, I'm trying to, like... John's parents weren't like that. I know a little bit. Your parents thought you were having sex in high school. My parents.
Oh,
knew
girls
that I was
later,
not.
Grades now.
Yeah, my parents didn't have that.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't care.
I think one time my dad, in like high school, he like came back from Costco and he like I think it must have been a joke. He gave me like a giant box of condoms. And he was, I don't even remember what he said to me. He's like, yeah, at that age, blah, blah. And I must have been like 16 years old. I did not use a single one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Those are like cursed condoms. You couldn't. No.
I appreciate the confidence in your son though, Dad. Thank you. But that was a waste of money. I'm sorry.
Every time you would just be thinking, yeah, this is the con. My dad, you know, you tell her, my dad got me these.
There's no tell who
a girl.
Well, yeah. Where did it wear?
I don't know. But like, imagine if you did, you know?
Yeah. But when did I have that opportunity? I think maybe once I had that opportunity. Mm. But then I was like, there's got to be something wrong with this chick if she's even giving me the opportunity.
I thought you were saying you could never use condoms that your dad gave you because it would just feel awkward.
No, that's not why I couldn't use them.
Okay. Like he imparted his energy onto the condoms.
No, I never had an opportunity to use the condom.
I see.
Due to my own fault. I was a student of science and engineering.
Yeah, grades.
Right. No grades.
No?
No, I did. Okay. I had okay grades, but like my goal in life was not to use those condoms. Mm. It was to build cool machines. And women only will get in the way of that.
Especially. You know, and your sister told me a story about you, a few stories about you in high school.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you guys threw some parties at your place.
I didn't.
Your sister did?
She did, yeah.
Hmm.
Why? Can you tell me about these
Well,
stories?
I'm saying like, refresh you're saying you're focused on grades and not women.
No,
and,
no.
Or girls.
And then
you had parties at your place.
I would say that I don't think I would have initiated a party. I had friends that would come over.
I had friends.
But like they were probably the ones who would like throw a party and then they would like throw a party at my house, but it was never like a crazy party.
Yeah, yeah. She said it was never like a crazy party, but you know, like 30 people.
Chelsea, are you here? Chelsea.
I heard them.
Is that her?
She told me this one time. She was having a party with her friends at the house. And you decided to launch off some fireworks in the backyard.
That's what I'm saying. That was me.
And then the cops came and like they're like, we heard there's a party. So there's a bunch of cars on the street.
Chelsea, come here.
Your parents are out of town. The cops show up.
Yeah.
And everybody has to hide. And she's like, oh, I think it was the neighbors that shot off a firework. And then as soon as the cops leave, like 10 minutes later, you shoot off another one.
Yeah, that sounds like something.
And there's like 30 kids drinking underage in your parents' house while they're on vacation. And
I was there?
Yeah. You were there, but it wasn't
was
your
it like
party.
Late high school? Sounds like something my sister would have done.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the one party that where I was cleaning up? Come here. Okay, Chelsea and I went to high school together. We're talking about how my dad in high school bought me a giant box of condoms from Costco and I didn't use a single one. Do you believe it?
You used them to play and blow up and make balloons.
That troll your dad with that.
Let's see. How do we do this? So
there was a party. There was a party in high school. You
like
lived
10th grade.
Yeah, tenth grade. Yeah, no, it was 10th grade because it was before I was dating my high school sweetheart. Like right around the time. At a party, it was in the same neighborhood that you live in. I don't know how you got invited.
Probably you.
Honestly, probably me. And so you probably scootered over or biked over.
I walked. It was close.
And you...
I'd like never been to a party before.
Oh, like a big rager.
Yeah. I would say like a high school as close... For me, in my mind, it was a rager. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a big party. It was a big house and it was a big party. There was a lot of people there. I think like, you know, football team was there too. Like it was like one of those types.
And then
of
me. Yeah.
And then you. And because you are you and you're kind of a square, you don't drink. So you were cleaning up in the kitchen. You kept like throwing away beer. You're polite. I don't know why you don't do that anymore.
And people made fun of you.
They made fun of you.
Yeah.
They made everybody clean up at the end anyway.
I know.
Wait. Nigel, did you ever get invited to a party in high school like that?
Like, sorry, can you be more specific?
Like a
place where you could use the condoms your dad bought for you.
Like a traditional, like, high school party.
Yeah, in high school, people had parties all the time, actually.
That's not the question.
Did you clean at them like William? Or did you partake?
Maybe at the end.
Yeah. Maybe at the end. It depends if it was like one of your friends' houses or not.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is like not like my friend's house. Like these people are new, but not like hanging out with them.
You were not friends with them.
No. Which is why I think you invited me.
He was trying to be friends by
cleaning. Can I go?
Yeah, you can go now. What? Like, you think you're trapped here? Yeah. Hmm. Anyways, I have a kid now. I've never used any of those condoms.
Plug game was too strong.
Too strong. You know, you don't have, you know, I'm not even, no, I could say it. You don't have to pull out if it's, if you never go. You know, I think that I regret nothing in my life.
You know what, Will? I was at a party in college one time. It was at like the frat house across the street from my student apartments. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being there and this guy was running around like screaming at people, pick up your shit. Like he would see you put down an empty cup and he would scream at you. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I
so you would have thrived in that environment.
I just saw something to do and I did it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they didn't appreciate it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Bunch of disrespectful assholes.
You thought maybe if I clean, they'll invite me to more parties.
Dude, I remember them trying to get me to drink too. And I was just like, no, thank you. Like 15 years.
Yeah, old. Oh, God.
Oh, 15 is probably pretty young.
That was everybody there.
Oh, really? The okay. Yeah. I don't know if I really did any of that until 16.
I remember
16.
Kelsey was extremely drunk.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Off of one Smirnoff Ice.
Probably like a cap full of Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I don't want to say it's a fond memory. It's a memory that I have. Hi, Poo-Poo. She's just opening and closing the door.
I don't know what's worse, cleaning up, you know, being made fun of for cleaning up or getting yelled at for not throwing your can away.
I think
instantly.
Being made fun of for cleaning up, because, you know, when you think about it, it is a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
You're at a party and people partying and then you see cans and things and you clean them up.
Okay. We were at Jake Glazer's party, yeah. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago. Right. And I started cleaning up because there was literally no place to put anything.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That was a disaster.
That was like, it was bad.
But I think the difference is like if you're participating in the party and also cleaning.
We weren't. I showed up.
Oh, and you just started cleaning?
And I just started cleaning. Cause,
oh, okay. Then we're the same.
Yeah. Well, I needed to put my beer down or something like that. I had nowhere. So I'm
you
like.
You just had to drink it.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, we brought like a case.
The whole.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
They make fun of you for cleaning up. But
correct.
You cleaning up is a reflection on their party and
exactly.
How boring it is.
Right.
Right.
That is probably the most Chad way of phrasing that. Thank you, Nigel. I needed that.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? I wouldn't have to clean up if you entertained me.
It's just the same thing with like holiday parties, like with your family too. It's like, I just want to do something.
Oh, yeah. I totally get that.
Enormous problems with sitting around. Like, I don't know if that's the brain damage or just not enough amphetamines that have been prescribed by a doctor.
I'm sure there are a lot of contributing factors.
Yeah, because I try to like not go on my phone. Like I really make like pretty.
Yeah, my sister would always yell at me for that.
Yeah, Kevin definitely would go on his phone.
No, I couldn't because my sister would shame.
Oh, she would yell.
She was shaming me.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Good on her. But also, like, I really want to go on my phone.
Yeah, so you have to find. I found the box of Legos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. That's better.
Yeah.
And so I think that is just how I operate. And in high school, it was I needed something to do. And what is standing around drinking and talking to people? That's not doing something.
The drinking makes it easier
to do to clean
to not think about anything and just talk.
That's true. Yeah. I didn't really do that.
That's what it's for. That's literally the point of you know.
You see what I want? Like, if we're drinking, we should be also like. Fishing, you know, like you're on the pier. It's like what hobos do, right? You go on the pier.
It feels
pier,
bad that I say that's the point of drinking is to lose your inhibitions, but I think
that's the whole point.
It is. Yeah, yeah. It is.
Yeah,
when
it
you're
makes you feel
schooler.
Better about your everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not worry about if the house is being a mess. Yeah,
exactly.
You should try it sometime.
No. Makes my head
hurt. It's too late now.
I hate drinking.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay, maybe this is like an apt description, a summary of who I think I am. I made moonshine in high school.
Uh-huh.
I did not drink any of it.
Wow.
I let my friends drink it.
I kind of
like
the same thing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I enjoyed the process of making it, but I'm not going to drink it.
Of breaking the rules and doing it.
And right. And then
getting away with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I don't want this.
Yeah. You never get high on your own supply.
Exactly. I also, you know, all the stories about bathtub moonshine and people going blind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I let my friends drink it. They're all fine. They can see fine. They're not blind.
Did John drink any?
No, John definitely didn't drink. John was like me, but probably... No, I'd say we're probably the same. Yeah, John would have been clean. John would have been cleaning with me. That's why we get along so well. Okay, so yeah, John's saying he got invited to a party once because his friend was a magician and wanted John to film him doing his magic show. Was he good or bad? Wait, who was it? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I should also say... this just occurred to me. My high school was very, everyone in the grade was kind of more or less friends. So a lot of the parties were people would throw a party and everyone in the grade was invited.
How many kids?
So it wasn't, theoretically in a grade, we had over 100.
That's small.
But it's like, yeah, it was like 100 and something, but probably at a party, it was like 30 people would show up. But it's like anyone could show up if they really wanted to. Whereas a lot of people were like, I don't really feel like I know the host that well. I'm just not really going to go to this one. And everyone also kind of did their own thing. But like the large grade, like, you know, big parties, kind of anyone in the grade could go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I feel like it was very different than when I hear, you know, the typical high school parties. Like my younger brother went to a more typical high school. And he would talk about that with plenty of people through parties, and it was definitely not everyone was invited.
Those are like
so. Usually, the parties. What?
These kinds of parties.
I loved them.
Oh,
then or now?
I heard my
then in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. Maybe Florida was a big party place
for drinking. What do you like about it?
Yeah, just the drinking and the partying and the hanging out. Yeah.
Hanging out doing what though?
Party, yeah, I know drinking you went to and partying.
You were trying to get
and then trying
your home
to,
life.
You know, flirt with girls and stuff, like high school, typical high school boy things.
What does that mean?
You know, meet girls. Say, you know, you want to kiss girls.
What? That's fucking disgusting.
Kevin. Will's
like,
what?
I'm not even drunk. I'm gonna start throwing up.
Yeah.
Were you
it's
a Chad
pretty,
or no?
Pretty gay, you
were
know.
You Chad? Yeah. Were you a Chad in high school or
No, but I tried to be, I think, you know, I wasn't like a Chad, but
what was your, what was your batting average?
How many zeros? I'm trying to think of how many zeros.
How frequently would you,
let me just say, you missed all the shots you don't take.
Okay. Did you
and
miss
you missed
all,
most
did,
of the,
did you miss all the shots you took too? I don't like swinging.
Oh, yeah. That's always the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll clean at a party, but I'll never swing.
And then they say, you know, rejection doesn't feel as bad as you think it does. And then you're like, wait, yes, it does. Screw that. Mm-hmm. Screw whoever said that.
I feel like now, too, I'm so glad I'm not a kid in this day and age. It would not just be like, oh, you got rejected. It would become like potentially like a bigger ordeal. Like people would make fun of you on a larger scale. With social media and what?
No, you're making it worse for all the kids.
No, I mean, what kids? Kids should not.
We had social.
Kids don't party? That's what I'm saying. Kids don't party today because they're afraid of like publicized social rejection. Yeah, Chelsea's saying kids are not promiscuous anymore.
And they're not. I've seen lots of news articles saying that they don't drink. Like.
Pregnancy's down. Yeah, you see, that's the mom who's like, no sex. And then once their kid's 20, they're like, where's my grandbabies? And their kids are like, I literally am afraid of the opposite gender. And I play video games. I'm on Discord all day.
I think a reason why parties were so big in Florida is because we had out east.
Yeah.
So we had the beach towns and then we had the country.
Mm.
And the country was like, you know, the idea of like the third space or something.
Yeah.
Is it called the third space?
I mean,
or the
kind of.
Anyway, that's where it was.
The partying. Yeah.
Because it's like a place where the kids could just get away and just like hang out, you know, like on some old, like abandoned ranch or something like that.
Oh, yeah, we would do the beach, the bonfires on the beach.
Yeah, oh, we couldn't do the beach. Like, that. The cops would be there in a minute. But, yeah, so you had a spot like that. But now I feel like, where is that spot?
It's Discord, which is some, like, actions, like, probably three orders of magnitude more effective than Trojan condoms. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for listening to our...
thing.
Yeah, our thing that we did.
Thing.
I love you.
I love you.
Thanks to everyone on Patreon who supports us. If you want to support us, you get a bunch of extra podcasts. We record an extra one every single week. Those are all up right now. There's so many of them, and we're doing one right now. So you get to go to patreon.com/whatever. Just click the link in the description, and you can support us over there. We love you. I love you, Nigel.
I love you, Nigel. Maybe he'll say it on the extra.
One day.